Good morning, everyone. In case you don't know me, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm the Young Adult Microchurch Pastor here at Symphony. I'm excited to be sharing the word with all of you this morning as we continue our series on the three loves. And this morning, I'm specifically going to be talking about agape love. But before we get into the message, let's take a moment to say hi to some people that you're worshiping with. If you're on the Zoom call, please make sure that you turn on your camera. We want to see your face. Wave hello to other people in the Zoom call with you. Maybe message a few people. For those in micro churches, why don't you take a moment as well to say hi to the people around you? Let's do that together right now. All right, we're going to get right into the message now. So let me read our passage for this morning. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Again, Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your agape love towards us. As we talk about this love, Lord, may you pour your love over us, God. I pray that we'd all have hearts that are eager to receive the great, great love you truly do have for us, God. So Lord, yes, speak into our hearts, pour your love into our hearts, Lord. Come and have your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me share a story with you all. So I have two kids, 2 and 4 years old, and they obviously, you know, being children, well, really being human, like to be loved. Go figure, right? But sometimes they can get really demanding about it. And so my oldest, my daughter, when she gets in a mood, which unfortunately has been pretty frequently recently, well, when she's in that mood, she just wants to be hugged and held. And it's cute and all, right? But sometimes, though, I'm busy. That doesn't matter to her. She just wants to be loved in that moment because she has needs. And to her, I'm the one who meets those needs, at, you know, who able to meet those needs no matter what, no matter what I'm doing. However, sometimes, you know, really oftentimes, when that happens, my youngest, my son, will then, upon seeing me showing affection to my daughter, will run over and get mad at Audrey because she's getting all the attention. And then they'll fight. And while it's somewhat endearing being fought over like that, it shows something about human nature. This really actually highlights a concept called attachment. This is a psychological concept about how children need to form an attachment to a caregiver for the sake of their social and emotional development. And that attachment is basically a foundation for their development. Without attachment to a caregiver, a child will likely grow to be socially and emotionally deficient. And so in my case, Audrey needed attention, needed attachment in that moment. And Benji, you know, seeing Audrey getting that attachment, wanted it as well. Thankfully, this is just children we're talking about. And this kind of thing could never apply to us. Yeah, sorry, it does. While this is two children, again, I'm talking about, this scenario does apply to us as supposed adults too. This is human nature. We long to be attached, you know, to be connected with others. We want to be loved, and we get jealous when we see other people being loved and not us. We want our needs prioritized. We want someone else to pay attention to us. We want. The song says, all you need is love, right? is that all we need? Well, exactly. I need that love. All I need is love, and I need that love right now. The problem is that our need so easily manifests as neediness, the idea that we need someone to meet our needs. And this neediness can also be called self-centeredness. And self-centeredness, as we've been talking about the past few weeks, really is the killer of love. It kills relationships. You know, again, that's why both Pastor Barry and Pastor Sean, they warned us of the dangers of self-centeredness, whether we are talking about romantic relationships or friendship relationships. In any relationship, self-centeredness is a threat. Whenever we allow our neediness to become the dominant factor in a romantic or a friendship relationship, that relationship will quickly be damaged, either through burnout on the person trying to meet our every need or hurt from the person whose needs will inevitably not all be met. As I was listening to our Eros and Phileo messages from the past 2 weeks, a question popped into my mind. I know I should fight against self-centeredness, but how do I actually do that? If I'm always loving someone else, who will ever love me? Am I supposed to always be denying myself, letting go of what I want, my needs? Sometimes I think, I don't know if I can actually do that. Because our souls long to be loved and accepted. That is a universal longing among all people. There is no one who does not long for that, even if they pretend they don't. And sometimes those people who pretend they don't need to be loved, who put up that wall like they don't need anyone else, are the ones who actually need it the most. I'm sure we all know someone like that. But really, everyone longs to be loved and accepted. That's what I was mentioning before about this idea of attachment. That isn't just for children, it's for everyone. The cry of our hearts is to be connected to others. Hence why God says to Adam in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. Our souls long to be loved. We really do have needs. We want to be loved. And it's painful to not be loved. And so, when we hear a message about letting go of self-centeredness in relationships, maybe we're thinking to ourselves, okay, time to swallow my needs again. And maybe we can do that for a bit, but we will wear out. And then we will find ourselves right back in that same place of wondering, who will love me? Who will meet my needs? And often we'll be more needy because now we are burned out and hurt from trying to love others too much. Has that ever happened to you? You tried caring for and loving and serving others so much at your own expense that you eventually felt drained and hurt and unloved. For many of us, particularly those of us who are leaders in the church and minister frequently to others, we've probably thought those thoughts before. I know I have. When I feel emotionally stretched from trying to care for and pastor others, a thought can start to enter my mind. Who will care for me? And like I said, imagine that can happen to a lot of us. And so again, it's that question, what about me? If I take those risks that Pastor Sean talked about in friendship, what if it doesn't work out? What about me? If I commit to someone in an Eros romantic relationship and I keep denying myself, but they later reject me, what about me? There's the expression, it's better to have loved and lost than not love at all. But is that really true? We think to ourselves, do I really want to lose? So again, what about me? I want you to sit with that question a bit now. I need to now explain the last form of love, and I'll come back to this idea of our needs in a bit. So just to summarize from the previous 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago we talked about Eros and how this is the romantic love that exists between a couple. We then, last week, talked about phileo love, and this is the love we have between friends. Today, the last form of love is one I'm sure many of us have heard before, especially if you've been around the church for a while, and I'm talking about agape love. And so what is it? What is agape love? Well, agape is a simple Greek word that means, well, love. That's what it means. Agape means love. But in the Bible, the word is used really specifically to describe God's love and the love that we as believers are called to show one another and to show the world. In order to best describe agape love, I want to use three words. First, it's unconditional. This means it's a love that expects nothing in return. You know, if you have agape love, you don't demand something in return for the love you give. There's no quid pro quo in agape love. Second, agape love is sacrificial. To love with agape love is to deny yourself and your own needs. It means to put the needs of someone else above your own. And that's a sacrifice. And third, agape love is demonstrated. Agape love has to be shown, and really it has to show a cost of some sort, whether time, money, or any other resource. Agape love is not theoretical or hypothetical. It's tangible and real. Not to say that it has to be proved, right? I'm not talking about proving, but there's a demonstration of love. There's an action of agape love. I think it's necessary to describe agape love with all three of these words. Why? Well, oftentimes agape love is described simply as unconditional love. And that's obviously part of it, but I don't think that's the full picture of agape love. I think it's more than that. I remember when I was a teenager, I had a dog, and I used to say that she showed me unconditional love because she was always there for me, you know, for me to hug and to just love on, no matter how emo teenage Doug may have felt. Like, she was always there by my side. And she never really asked much of me. But was that love that my dog showed me unconditional? Maybe. But I would not want to call it agape love because there wasn't really much of a sacrifice or a cost on the part of my dog to let me hug her all the time. Because agape is actually a deep, action-oriented love. It's not the love of a puppy. Again, it's an unconditional, sacrificial, and demonstrated love. That sounds nice, right? Doesn't it? We long for that kind of love to be given to us. As I was researching for this message, I found a question on Quora, which, if you don't know what that is, it's that question answer site online. And the question that people were answering was, why people want to be loved? And one person listed the following things. I want someone to post status updates on WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, Insta, so that everyone knows that I am so special for him. I want someone to take umpteen selfies so that I can boast about ourselves to my friends. I want someone to give me so many gifts on my birthday. I want someone to spend so much for me. What was funny about that post was that they said they don't just want those things, as if those things were the baseline for a relationship. But yeah, demanding all those things in that post I read, that's a soul crying out for agape love. They want someone to love them with unconditional, sacrificial, and demonstrated love. So yeah, our souls long for love. And really, our souls long for agape love. We want to be cared for. We want to be accepted. We do have needs, right? I talked about earlier. And we think to ourselves, what about me? And yeah, what about me? Can we expect agape love from others? Is that what we should be expecting in our relationships? Well, the answer really is no. The key word here is expect. Maybe we can get glimpses of agape love from others, but if we expect it from someone else, we will always be let down when our expectations are not met. This is because the expectation of agape love that's in our hearts can only be found in God. Let's look back at our passage that I read earlier. Specifically, let's look at verses 7 through 8. So again, Romans 5, verses 7 through 8. Let me read that again for us. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is a clear picture of the agape love that God has for us. It's unconditional. It says, while we were still sinners. God did not require us to be or do something. He sent his own son to die for us. You know, John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world, he sent his one and only son. It was preempted love. Also, it's sacrificial. Jesus denied himself. He submitted his own needs for our sake. He died on the cross. That's quite a sacrifice. And third, it was demonstrated. The passage in Romans says that God shows his love for us through the death of his son, Jesus. That's how God demonstrated his love to us. This is the fullest sense of agape love, a love that did not require anything from the receiver, a love that was sacrificial and costly to the highest extent, you know, Jesus' own death and his own separation from his father, and it was demonstrated and made known to us. This is the agape, the unconditional, sacrificial, and demonstrated love of God. This is the kind of love our souls truly long for. So back to the idea of our needs and attachment that I mentioned earlier. So again, children need to be attached to a caregiver in order to develop. And obviously, it's an agape sort of love a child is looking for in their parents, because a baby can't do anything in return or earn the parents' love in any way. You know, those babies sure aren't earning the parents' love with every dirty diaper they are making their parents change. But those needs for agape love do not simply go away as we get older and supposedly mature. While as we grow and, you know, emotionally and socially develop, we learn to have two-sided relationships, and we also learn to have boundaries to secure ourselves in relationships. But still, there's this craving in our souls to be loved like we were by our parents, even if that yearning has gotten buried. And that longing for agape love, as I mentioned earlier, it can really only be fulfilled through God. We are not meant to move on from attachment as we got older and matured, but rather we are meant to find that attachment in God, who is revealed in the Bible as our true Father. It says in Romans 8, verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. There are two paths in life, as it says in this verse. There is slavery to fear, where we are constantly having an unmet need in our souls that leads to dissatisfaction and pain. Or there's adoption as children of God, fully and powerfully loved beyond measure. Fear or love. Fear or love. That's the choice presented to us. A child without the love of a parent or caregiver withers and struggles and lives in fear. A person without the love of their Father in heaven similarly struggles and lives in the fear of being unloved. Our souls crave agape love, and without it, as the passage says, we are slaves to fear. But when we turn to Jesus and accept the love of the Father into our hearts, a real attachment forms, an attachment that, according to Romans 8, can never be broken. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let me pause here and address anyone who has not committed their lives to Jesus. Look inside your heart. Do you recognize that need for love? Maybe you've written it off at some point as impossible or buried it under previous hurts, but dig deep. Do you feel that love for an agape kind of love? Or do you feel that need for an agape kind of love? A deep, powerful, unrelenting love. Be honest with yourself. Do you feel that longing? Or have you been a slave to fear, always hiding your needs, always feeling trapped and unloved, buried under the weight of hurt and anxiety and fear? You do not need to be a slave to fear. You do not need to live feeling like you can't be loved or accepted. You do not need to guard yourself thinking your soul will never find real love. So, do you feel that longing? That's the longing of a child for their father in heaven, a perfect father, our heavenly father. We were made for love, for agape, and to find that love in our father in heaven. If you sense that need right now, say to Jesus, I want to feel the Father's love. Help me to know that I am loved beyond measure. Jesus, I thank you for your death that opened the door to me being loved and accepted by my Father in heaven. The Father's love is available to you. Agape love is available to you, and it's found through Jesus. But for those of us who are Christians, this applies to us too. I know this because, well, this message applies to me as well. This pandemic has been rough, to say the least. And I imagine there are many of us who have gone very long without feeling the tangible agape love of God. Preparing this message ministered to me so much because I realized I had been running near empty on my receiving of God's agape love. I can tell that because I have noticed more irritability in my heart, less patience. I've been going through the motions, reading the word, praying, but not really giving myself adequate space to soak in God's love. Not really devoting enough time to remind myself who I am, that I am a beloved child of God. And I imagine many of us can relate. It's hard, right, when we're at home all the time. It's quite easy to be distracted. But as I said, I was being ministered to by this message myself. And just a few days ago, I was driving to pick up my daughter, Audrey, from school. And as I was driving, I was praying and reflecting on this message with worship music playing in the car. And next thing I knew, I'm just weeping. I realized I really need God's agape love. And I could just feel God reminding me who I am. I am his son, utterly beloved, not because of what I do, but because he has called me his child. The agape love of God is the love of the Father for us, his beloved children. Say that to yourself right now. I am a beloved daughter or son of God. I am valued and accepted by my Father. Feel his agape love being poured all over you, a love that will satisfy that longing in our hearts. A love that will keep us forever attached to him. Remember that question, what about me? Well, here it is. If you are asking, what about me? What about my needs? Look to the Father. We cannot put that burden on other people. Self-centeredness kills our relationships with others. But when we are secure in our identity as a child of God, when our needs are met in him, we are actually freed to love others. Let me say that again. When you receive the agape love of God, that frees you to truly love others with eros or phileo love, without expecting anything in return. We can love without falling into the trap of self-centeredness. Just think about it. If you've ever felt that feeling of being loved, you just start like oozing it out of you, right? The love just is like pouring out just without you even realizing it. Sometimes when I talk to someone who just started like dating, right? They're like the most joyful person ever. They're wearing rose-colored glasses and life is just so good and they so easily love others and are so willing to serve or do anything. It's like you ask them for $100, like, oh, here, take it. I just want to give everything away because I am loved, right? I'm sure we've seen something like that before. Well, when we really receive the agape love of God, that's what happens. We can easily love others because we are so content in being loved. Really, receiving agape love becomes a foundation to love others, whether that love be eros, phileo, or even agape. And actually, receiving agape love from God in some sense transforms those other two loves to be agape love, because again, we stop expecting anything in return. Phileo and eros love can be agape love as we love selflessly. So again, healthy eros and phileo love require a foundation of agape love. Just like 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because God first loved us. We need love in order to give love. To expect that from other people, though, puts an unhealthy expectation on the other. To be loved by God frees us from forcing our needs on others and frees us to instead actually focus on their needs and caring for them and loving them. In this series, we've talked about romantic relationships and friendship relationships, but there is another important relationship we need to discuss as we talk about agape, and that is the relationship with our parents. I know people have different circumstances in their childhood, and so the parental figure may not necessarily be a biological parent, but we all have had some sort of parental figure in our lives. I hinted at this earlier in talking about attachment, but we all grew up with an attachment relationship of some sort. And for many of us, it's this attachment relationship that taught, either in good ways or bad ways, about agape love. Frequently, agape love is described in parent-child language because that actually is the nature of our relationship with God. And our primary identity when we are Christians is being a child of God, with Him as our Father. That's why we should not seek attachment to a person, but rather to God our Father. This attachment, as I've been saying, frees us to love others without falling into self-centeredness. However, for many people, the biggest barrier to being attached to God and receiving His agape love is a broken relationship with a parent or past hurt from a parent. And this is not just conjecture. I have ministered to so many people whose past struggles with parents have bled into their relationship with God. For example, those who maybe grew up with like a stoic or stern father often project the same image on God. Or those who grew up with an absent father often project an image of God who is distant from their lives. The same can happen with people's relationships with their mothers too. They can project their mothers onto God as well. Think about your relationship with God or your image of God in your mind right now. In what ways has this been shaped by your parents, particularly if you've experienced past hurt from them? Because this may be a barrier to you really experiencing God's agape love because you have based God's love on a flawed love you may have experienced in your childhood. So what do we do? Do we just say, I will ignore this? No, we forgive. Forgiveness is one of the superpowers of agape love. Really, forgiveness may be one of the highest forms of showing agape love. It's saying, I will not place judgment on this person. I release them and thus release myself from the hurt. Because really, unforgiveness is not a prison for the person who wronged you. It's a prison for yourself. Many of us may be holding unforgiveness toward our parents, and that is affecting our relationship with God, our Father. Well, perhaps this is the perfect time to start working towards forgiveness. Just a note here, though. Forgiveness usually is not like a one-time thing, like, poof, I forgive this person. Though it certainly could be through the help of the Holy Spirit. But usually it's a process of slowly offering your hurt to God and saying, no, God, heal my heart and help me to not hold this pain against this person anymore. I want to let myself out of the prison of unforgiveness that I put myself in. I want to be freed from the hurt, so I lay it down before you. As we continually lay it down before God, as we invite Him to help us forgive, we will find healing. And I want to encourage you, If this relates to you, you do not have to do this alone. You can talk to me or any of the pastors, talk to your family group leader or microchurch leader. There are a lot of people who would be willing to walk with you on the path toward forgiveness. Because truly, when we learn to forgive, and particularly forgive a parent, that unlocks our ability to receive agape in a powerful, powerful way. I've witnessed this in many people's lives. As we forgive, we will see a clearer picture of our Father in heaven, and his agape love for you. As a parent myself now, I've been thinking about this a lot. Sometimes, you know, some of us parents, we joke, oh, my kids will need inner healing one day. But it's true. We are shaping them, and that's a scary thought. Will they see God's love in me, or will they see something else? Before my first child was born, I remember listening to this one song, Everlasting Father, and I was praying that I can, in some small way, show that love to my children. And reflecting back these past 4.5 years, I know I failed so many times. I am certainly not a perfect parent. And for those of you who are parents or are planning to be parents soon, know this. We can't be perfect parents, but we can point to the perfect Father. Particularly when we ask for forgiveness of our children, you know, when we recognize that we have been wrong, that we may have hurt them in some way, and we ask them to forgive us. That is a really powerful demonstration of the love of God for them to see. It's a powerful demonstration of humility. Because our goal is not to be the perfect parent, but for our children to know they have a perfect Father in heaven, and that our love is just a reflection of his love. The song I mentioned, Everlasting Father, has these lyrics. Even when I wander far, your presence never leaves me. Your voice of mercy calls me home, draws me close. That's the love of the Father, our perfect Father. His constant presence, his constant mercy. Whether we are parents or not, as we receive the love of the Father, that is the sort of love that we are able then to show others. So, what are some applications for us as we think about agape love? Well, first, receive God's agape love. We cannot love unless we first know we are loved by God. Take time this week to remind yourself that you are a child of God, beloved fully and unquestionably, a love that will forever keep us attached to our Father in heaven. One suggestion I have is meditate on Romans 8 this week. This is a passage that has often ministered to me in the past. It is a great passage on God's love for us and the new identity as a child of God that we have. So spend time this week reading through it. Secondly, serve others without expecting anything in return. I mentioned that agape is the foundation of selfless eros and selfless phileo love. This selfless love is shown through serving. As Jesus himself said, he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He wasn't looking to be served. He was looking to serve and to meet others' needs, to love others. As we are filled with agape love, we are able to do similarly. We can serve and love without expecting anything in return. Perhaps think of one practical way you can do that this week and commit to doing it. And thirdly, forgive someone who hurt you. I touched upon this already earlier when talking about parents, but in general, we can show agape love through forgiveness. I mentioned it's a superpower of agape love, and I truly believe that. And really, it's a super fuel for agape as well, meaning forgiveness fuels your ability to love. Being able to forgive someone who hurt you is one of the most striking, visible demonstrations of the power of the gospel. We do not want to hold ourselves back from God's agape love by holding on to unforgiveness. And so maybe spend time this week bringing your hurt to Jesus and asking for his help to forgive. It may take time. It will take work, but it's so worth it. So spend time this week. Bring your hurt to Jesus. Invite him to teach you how to forgive. Because truly, forgiveness is a powerful key to unlocking agape love in our lives. God demonstrated his agape love for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. And now he calls us to receive that love and to thus love others in the same way. And my hope is we all receive God's agape love and allow that to be the fuel for us to truly love others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this great love that you have for us. Who are we, Lord, that you would be mindful of us? Who are we that you, the creator of everything, the one who reigns above all else, would love us? But yet you do. And you showed it, Lord, by sending your own son to die on that cross for us. And that single act proved without a doubt that you love us, Lord, with a deep, unchanging, powerful love, Lord. Help us to receive that love, that agape love. Because we were made to be loved, to live in your love, Lord. Let's take some time right now to invite God's love into our hearts. Again, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior before, maybe take this time to reflect on this love that I've been talking about and ask yourself, do I want this in my life? And say, yeah, like Jesus, help me to receive the love of the Father today. And if you are a Christian, say to God right now, God, help me to receive your love again. Maybe we have allowed his love to feel cold. He's calling you back saying, return to your first love. Remember how we are beloved. We are children of God. So return to him. Feel his love. So let's all pray that together right now. Let's receive this love of the Father together. Let's pray. Perhaps when I was talking about this idea of forgiveness, someone popped into your mind, whether a parent or someone else. Let's now actually start to work on that path towards forgiveness. Let's invite God's help, because truly it is a supernatural act of forgiveness, a supernatural work of the Spirit in our hearts. So let's pray right now, really laying that hurt that we may have experienced and saying, God, help me to forgive this person. I want to be freed from this prison I've put myself in. I want to be free to receive your love without holding back. So let's pray that together right now. Let's pray. lastly, let's pray over our hearts and ask God for the power to be able to love others selflessly. Again, as I've been saying, we can't really love others selflessly until we have this foundation of God's love in our hearts. And having prayed about receiving agape, let's now pray that we can likewise love others without demanding anything in return. Let's pray that God would teach us how to serve, just as Jesus came to serve and to not be served. So let's pray that together right now. Let's pray. This time, let's take out our phones and open up our connection card forms again. And at Symphony, we believe that the offering we bring to God is more than just our finances, but it's a life of obedience. And at the bottom of the connection card form, you'll see a few next steps. And I encourage you to look through those. If you feel God leading you to respond to this message in any of those ways, please, you know, check that off. And if you have anything else that you feel is God saying to you, write that in the other box as well. And also, if you have any prayer requests, please write those down in the box on the bottom of the form. Just know that myself, as well as the rest of the staff, will be praying for you this week. And so this is your opportunity to receive prayer from us. And also, as part of giving our offering, you can find the links to our giving page at the top of the connection card form there, where you can give your normal tithes and offerings. So let's take a moment to do that together. Let me pray for us. Father, our Father, our perfect Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that you look at us and you call us beloved. You call us your children. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would know that through Jesus we are loved beyond measure. So Lord, may we never hold ourselves back from this perfect agape love you have from us. May we not, Lord, live in fear, but may we live in the freedom of being called children of God, Lord. I pray that over all of us, Lord God, may we, Lord, live in freedom, the freedom that you offer to us, Lord. And in that freedom, help us to love others, Lord God, without fear of getting, of being hurt, without fear of being unloved, because we know we are loved unquestionably, Lord, by you. So God, yeah, may we be a people who demonstrate your agape love to those around us, Lord. And thus, may many see you through our love, God. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this time. We give you all the praise and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we'll be continuing in our worship through, if you're on in the virtual congregation, please stay on the Zoom and we'll be continuing to pray there. And if you're in micro churches, I hope you have a great time of prayer there as well. But otherwise, have a great rest of your day. God bless.